All right, I'm gonna call this meeting to order. You all should have received the packet that was sent out on Friday. So the moving down to routine business, and the first item is approving the minutes from our May 5th meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I will so move. I looked at them, and they're what I remember, so I move the minutes to be approved. Doug?
Okay, I will. Great. Thanks, Jeff. Any comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Great. Minutes are approved. Moving on to our loans for today. We had, I believe it was a little over $5 million in loans from seven different loans to approve. Is there a motion to approve the loans before Rich gives us an update?
This is Doug. I'll approve seven loans for about $5.5 million.
I will second that, Sarah. Rich, do you want to kind of walk through the loans we have in front of us today?
Sure. These are pretty much standard fare. The one that I would like to point out is number one, River Ridge. That loan is actually a refinance of two loans that we had done earlier. And the reason that the rate's a little bit higher is that this is really an extension of the prior loan at that rate that we made the prior loan rather than a new loan. As you know, we allow refinancing of our own loans. But we put a hurdle in there because we don't charge any fees, and that hurdle is that the borrower needs to take out additional debt equal to 25% of the amount that they would like to refinance. And River Ridge didn't have another project that met those criteria, and so they decided to extend their existing loan at the current rate.
Any of the commissioners have questions for Rich about the loan?
Okay. I don't.
See none. All those in favor of approving the loan say aye.
There's some motion. You approve the loan?
Yep.
Aye. Doug, I vote aye for the loan.
Great. So Doug, Josh, and I voted to approve the loan. So the loans are approved. We have no old business. There is no new business. So we will move down to routine business. Rich, with your Chief Investment Officer's report.
Sure. I just wanted to give the board a heads up that we're nearing the target for both corporate bonds and public equities. Corporate bonds, we have a target allocation of 10%. And right now, we're at 9.9%. Public equities, we have a total target of 15%, and we're a little bit over 14% right now. One of the things that the investment committee is starting to take a look at are preferred stocks, which is an asset class that I think everybody's familiar with. It's kind of a marriage between corporate bonds and common stocks. They take a preferred position prior to any dividends being paid to common stocks. And so they have a little bit better security for future income and a little bit higher income stream than either corporate bonds in today's market or common stocks. And so we're going to be taking a look at those either through an ETF structure like we have in the past with our public equities or working with our advisors at Schwab to develop our own portfolio, which would be a little bit more work, but it would also save us some fees. The fees in the preferred equity or preferred stock ETF area are higher than they are in the other areas that we have invested in common stock. They tend to be around 0.5% a year, which is something that we would like to avoid if we can put together our own portfolio. So I just wanted to bring the board up to speed on that. If the investment committee does determine to move forward with preferred stocks, it may push us above the target level for domestic equities, and I just wanted to let you aware that we may be moving in that direction in the near future.
So this is Doug's question. Is that static, my phone, or is it everybody has that noise?
We don't hear anything
else.
I don't hear any static, though.
I'm having trouble hearing because of the static.
I think it might be your line.
It's just me, not you.
Yep, okay. Do you want to call back in, Doug, and we can wait for you?
We're almost done. I'll put up with it for now. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay. If anything else, Rich? Any questions for Rich?
One thing I did want to add, though, is if we do, if the investment committee does decide to move above the target allocation, we would still be well within the range that is provided in the investment policy. I just wanted to let the board aware that we're looking at a new asset class that, you know, is really just a subset of a current asset class. And some of the attributes of that asset class and how it might affect our portfolio.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rich. Tom, moving on to the Executive Secretary's report.
Well, knock on wood, we made it another 2 weeks without any of our staff coming down with COVID. That's great to have a staff that's healthy and productive. As I noted at the last meeting, BCPL has been expressly exempted from the requirement for a budget lapse this fiscal year, but we are keeping a lid on our expenditures, and we're projecting we'll be able to lapse 5% of our budget in accord with other state agencies. But the mechanics of that lapse are still unclear, and so we've reached out to the controller's office and the budget office for guidance. Inquiries have continued to pour in from local governments interested in borrowing through the trust fund loan program, and some of that activity can be traced to the articles and recent publications from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Counties Association. And our loan processing activities have definitely increased, but not necessarily for expenses or projects directly related to COVID. It seems the current increase in loan demand is driven more by the borrower's preference for our reliability and flexibility. The yield on the state investment fund has recently dropped to 0.5%. And we expect it's headed lower. And although we've deployed significant amounts of trust fund principal into more diverse investments, as Rich noted, real estate funds, exchange-traded bond funds, and another lending fund, since the market's dropped, we still have approximately $200 million in unencumbered funds. There is considerable interest from some local governments for short-term loans, but this interest has not yet translated into actual applications for short-term loans. So we started investing in some school tax revenue anticipation notes, and we're looking at moving some funds back into FDIC-insured bank accounts that pay higher interest than SIF. And to that end, we're also having a conference call with Bankers Bank later this week. Our senior forester, Kevin Burns, is now working part-time for DHS on the COVID mapping effort. He's working with a team to track and map the location of persons infected with COVID throughout the state. But Kevin remains a valued member of our team, and he's still working with BCPL part-time. The land exchange with the Forest Service continues to move forward. The superintendent of the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest and I are having a conference call with the Forest County Potawatomi community later this week to discuss the transaction. We had a conference call with Clint Miller of the Conservation Fund, and we discussed potential strategies for putting together a larger transaction that would allow BCPL to sell school trust wetlands to conservation entities and invest the proceeds in consolidated blocks of accessible, productive timberland. So somewhat following the model of what Micah had put together before, but using an intermediary this time, the Conservation Fund, to help us accomplish that. And finally, we've continued to work on a couple of submerged land leases that may be headed for board consideration in the next month. One's on the Mississippi River, the other one's on Sturgeon Bay. And we're also continuing to work on the possibility of selling a conservation easement against our reserve mineral estate. So that's my report for this week.
Thanks, Tom. Anybody have any questions for Tom? All right. I'm just going to kind of a good transition, Tom, into my update. As I mentioned on our last board meeting, we've been working with the chief financial officers with the counties and also with the municipalities to really understand what their funding gaps will be. And they're facing two interesting scenarios. One is at the federal level, so with an decrease in revenues and also a delay in revenues, but yet an increase in expenses with COVID, how is that going to impact their budget? And then the other scenario that they're looking at is the legislature a few weeks ago gave counties the ability to delay property taxes until October. And so that would also allow citizens in those communities to delay their property taxes and not pay them until October. And so our county is going to be participating in this extension, and how, again, will that impact their budget, knowing that they're not going to have that revenue stream that they need to pay out school districts and cities, which they typically do in the August-September timeframe. And so we have had some really good feedback through our county and municipal survey. But one of the reasons why we're not quite ready to share that is the state did just get their CARES Act money from the federal government earlier this week. And what the governor's office is currently working on is what that money is going to look like that they're providing to county and municipal governments to help address some of those COVID expenses. So that's a critical input into understanding what their funding gap is going to be, because they're really looking at how much money are they going to be able to get through the current Federal CARES Act. And so we will be following up with them, and I think once we have a better understanding of what that money will look like for these communities as well as what their gap is going to be, I do anticipate more communities coming to talk to us about the State Trust Fund Loan Program in the future. But I think there's just still a lot of gray area with regards to the CARE Act and if they will participate in kind of postponing their property taxes. So update on kind of that county and state trust fund loan freeze. I think the other part that Tom mentioned is we are having a conversation, as you said, with Bankers Bank. I'm really looking forward to that conversation because I think one of the things that we're always looking at is how can we invest and receive the same amount of returns while kind of keeping that money here in Wisconsin. And I think this is a great avenue to ensure it's a win-win investment, not just for the trust fund and us as fiduciaries, but also keeping that money and impacting communities across the state. So we look forward to sharing that update, but that is it from my end. Any questions from the commissioners?
None for me. Thanks for the update, Sarah.
Of course. Any future agenda items that would like to be added? Okay. Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So adjourned. A motion, Doug.
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
All right. The meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and stay safe out there. Have a good rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.